Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We want to really thank the people at Anchor and encourage you if you are starting your own podcast or currently using another platform in your podcast to try Anchor. Anchor is a terrific platform. We're very, very pleased with their performance and their technology as well as their support. So give it a try. Anchor is a great, great technology and platform, and we're pleased that they are one of our great partners at Blood Time. Thanks for listening, and continue to support us as we will support you with great stories. Thank you.
Hey, guys, I want to thank Affinity Whole Health and the owner, Brian Zide. He started this company to get you feeling like you were in your prime. You can reach this company at feelgreatcleveland.com, founded, obviously, by a former wrestler athlete and his partner, who's also a former wrestler and athlete. The whole goal for this is to get you feeling like you're in your prime, but also helps you with muscle definition and strength, increased libido, increased energy and drive, increased mental acuity, obviously increases your confidence if you get all those, and increases recovery time from workouts. If you like all those things and you want all those things, check them out at feelgreatcleveland.com. Thank you again, Brian Zide and Affinity Whole Health.
Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time, and I've got a phenomenally accomplished guest today. I'm very pleased to have him on. Jim Scheer. Jim, how are you?
Fantastic, Peter. Glad to be with you today.
Yes, we're really pleased to have you on. And Jim, you're a bit of a contemporary of mine. I believe you were born in the early 60s. Well, I was born in the late 50s. So I do remember you quite well as a young man, some of your accomplishments. But some of your accomplishments in later life or mid to later life is exactly what Blood Time encapsulates, the transition between the coach and the athlete and what that athlete learned from the coach and then taking it into the real world and expanding and expounding on it. So I'm really pleased to have you on here because I believe you're really the definition of Blood Time.
How fantastic. Well, thanks for the very kind words. And yeah, it's been an interesting journey from wrestling to my business and management. So,
well, it's not bragging if it's fact, and it's clearly fact with you. So let's start. You know, obviously you did a fantastic job in college with your brother over at University of Nebraska. But tell me a little bit about how you started in the sport and some of the primary people that really affected you as not only an athlete, but as a human being in the coaching ranks.
Well, I started in third grade. A couple of my older brothers had wrestled a bit, but mm-hmm. you know, weren't very serious wrestlers.
Okay.
I was going to be a basketball player. Bill came home mm-hmm. Having been to a wrestling practice and started rubbing my face in the carpet in front of my father and grandfather. And I said, well, basketball is going to be out the window. I better take up wrestling just for self-defense purposes.
I love that. And you guys are twins, right? You guys are twins,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Okay. Who's older? Who's older?
I was born first. I'm a few minutes older. We were never very competitive then.
Oh, I got you. I'm sure. Oh my God. I can only imagine the brawls in the living room at the Scheer family. But so you started in third grade, and then was there somebody in high school? You know, typically there's an assistant coach that really bonds with a wrestler. I've coached high school and college wrestling as a head coach. And I'm really big on bringing in great assistant coaches to bond with certain athletes and be that confidant and really that motivator. And I learned that as an assistant coach. Is there anybody that really hit you?
We had a couple of people that were really, really influential in Bill and I's wrestling career. We had a neighbor, a guy named Gene Monfort, who's one of his sons went to Nebraska and wrestled. That was a couple of years younger than Bill and I.
Sure.
But he followed us to Nebraska. But I was in about sixth grade, and he came over and said, hey, let's go running. I was like, yogging. What the heck is yogging?
Oh, that's fantastic. I remember that. I remember when people started jogging, I'm like, what the hell is this stuff? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, jogging, great.
So funny.
And I went running with him pretty much every day for the next 6 years until I was out of high school. And it was a great guy.
Sure.
Huge influence, big booster of the wrestling program.
Uh-huh.
Had a big influence on us in terms of just thinking about success.
Right.
We had an assistant coach named Terry Binger, who actually let me take his new car to prom my senior year.
I love it.
High school, who was a great guy.
What kind of car was it, Jim?
It was a 78 Buick LeSabre.
Nice. Those are good. I had a 70 GTO for my high school car, so I feel like, man, that's right. Yeah, go ahead. I love it.
Anyway, Terry was a fantastic guy, really involved and kind of a guy who was close to the wrestlers, and you knew that he cared about your results and cared about you, and was one of those big pieces of glue in the wrestling program.
You know, I love that. It was, I interviewed Gabe Dean, and he talked about servant mentality. And I also had a lot of conversations with Lee Kemp regarding one of his drill partners, and just selflessness and that servant mentality. And it seems like I hear that from you regarding this assistant coach.
Yeah, no, Terry was a fantastic guy. And then our head coach was a guy named Rod Boone. Mm-hmm. Still around, no longer coaching wrestling, but.
Right.
Very young guy who was incredibly enthusiastic about the wrestling program.
Sure.
Wasn't an accomplished wrestler or technician, but he brought wrestling up to a level of importance mm-hmm. in the community that put it on a par with football and basketball and other sports in our high school. And we created kind of a team atmosphere that became a dynasty.
Yes.
In South Dakota for a number of years while he continued to coach, and we were kind of the front wave of that. But it was a lot of fun being part of something that he thought was incredibly important, and we had a whole group of kids that bought into that and came along. And I think we had 12 kids from my senior year wrestle in college somewhere.
Wow,
which was a pretty amazing.
That's incredible.
For a coach.
What high school was it out of South Dakota? It was near Eureka, correct?
Mobridge High School.
Okay. Okay.
And the Mobridge Tigers. We ended up winning state, and they won it a couple of years following that, and the next few years after. So,
were you and your brother recruited heavily by Nebraska, or how did that work for you? How did you end up in Nebraska?
Well, we weren't recruited that heavily out of high school. Okay. I was a one-time South Dakota state champion, which is like a small right. state, not a huge accomplishment. Bill was a two-time state champion.
No, I know what you. I know what you mean because I'm obviously coaching in Northeast Ohio, and if you're a two-time state champ out of Ohio, it's a little different than South Dakota. No disrespect to South Dakota, but I understand that. So you're not heavily recruited, but you do have some talent. So continue, please.
Yeah, we ended up at Nebraska. Okay. Coach Bob Fears was his first full year of coaching, his first full recruiting season.
Right.
And Bob brought Bill and I in.
Okay.
Along with about, seemed like 40 other recruits.
Sure.
I think there were six incoming state champions in my weight class, as well as a couple of upperclassmen who were still there. So it was a very competitive environment. And Bob was ambitious. He wanted to take Nebraska, which had scored, I think, a point or 2 points in the Big Eight tournament the year before he got there, to a power in national wrestling.
Well, there's no doubt that they did that. That he did that, particularly during your matriculation there.
Yeah, they've ended up being pretty consistent, top 10, top 15 team in the NCAA tournament. So it's been rewarding to be a part of, and nice to see after we've left that there's still a strong team. In fact, my college roommate and a great good friend from high school, Mark Manning from Vermilion, South Dakota, is still the wrestling coach at Nebraska today.
That's right. So tell me, I want to explore a little bit too, because obviously you and your brother both were national champs. What was it like to drill all those years, or did you drill all those years with your brother? And what kind of catfights are going on down there, man? It's just like mirror image, what the heck? You know, it's crazy.
Yeah, I think we had basically a fist fight every day until our sophomore year in high school.
I got it.
And that helps, make you tougher.
Gives you a good chin.
Wrestle for a while and then fight for a while and wrestle for a while.
Right.
Pretty much got over that through high school, except after that. One memorable moment our senior year in high school when we were wrestling our biggest rival, Redfield, South Dakota, and we went down in the locker room after warming up before the match. A couple of the lighter weight guys were wrestling.
Yeah,
and we ended up getting in a fight, and I don't know, I'm foggy on all of what transpired now, but I ended up flushing his wrestling shoe down the toilet.
That's fantastic.
So he wrestled with one wet shoe.
I love it. You're like the Everly Brothers just before going out for a concert, with the fist fights. I love that. That's fantastic. Well, Jim, I'm sure that he helped you get great, and I'm sure you helped him get great. And what was that like in college?
I don't think we would have been able to achieve what we did without having, a built-in workout partner.
Sure.
A built-in motivator, mm-hmm. But also somebody that, I looked up to him,
yes.
But at the same time, I wanted to be as good as him or better than him.
Sure, sure.
And we always referred to it as, competition within, harmony without. We were going to compete with each other, mm-hmm. And fight with each other as fiercely as we could.
Yes.
But as soon as we stepped out of the door, it was both of us against the world together.
I like that.
And that was a great, great bond for us to have throughout our wrestling career.
Well, that's a blood time moment there. And I had the opportunity and honor to interview Tom and Pat Milkovich.
Great guy.
Oh, phenomenal. I'm just terrific brothers and family. I have had Mike Jr. in my room this year teaching some moves, and had Jamie Milkovich, the head coach of Maple Heights, their nephew, do a tribute in the interview. But both of them won a title in the same year. Pat was a junior, yeah, and freshman national champ with Pat. And it just was such a beautiful thing. I mean, they really didn't wrestle each other too much, but the competition, but also the cooperation and the support is just it's palpable. And I'm hearing that from you as well with your brother.
Yeah, I'm not entirely familiar with their how they came up in the wrestling ranks, but obviously have met them, and their accomplishments are phenomenal and great people. But yeah, we were absolutely essential to each other's wrestling success.
And then you guys won titles, was it in 84?
No, we both won in 1984 in the Meadowlands of New Jersey.
That's awesome.
Which was fantastic because sure. We had our whole family there.
Yep.
Both our immediate family and a lot of extended family. So it became an incredible family event that, is an enduring memory for us.
Sure. In 88, you both make the Olympics, you and your brother, and you get close and your brother medals. So it had to be an incredible experience, I'm assuming.
Well, just going to the Olympics was a culmination of something we had worked for since we were, had watched the 72 Olympics on TV.
Right? Wow. Right?
And Mom let us stay up late and.
Sure.
And watch their wrestling matches and a couple of kids from a super small town in the middle of nowhere were probably not good odds to make the Olympic team. But and we just continued to work until we actually did in 1980. And we were very fortunate to have a lot of help along the way. But phenomenal experience. Didn't turn out for me quite like I wanted.
Sure.
Which was a difficult lesson. But Bill ended up with a bronze medal.
Yes, he did.
I think he was capable of winning a gold, but so from a competitive aspect, neither of us ended up with what we wanted, but it still was a phenomenal experience. Anytime you get to represent your country in the Olympic Games, it's
truly amazing. And at that level, it's just a minute thing that can separate one from five or one from three. It's just amazing at that level. Just a quick little decision or mistake, and boom, you're not that first. So we understand that immensely, but really respect you and your brother, what you did and represented to and for us. And I want to explore your business career, pretty much committed to not only our sport, to other sports at the executive level, after the break. So, Jim, I'm going to take a quick little break and thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back, okay?
All right, thanks, Peter.
All right, we'll be right back with Jim Scheer after the break.
I want to thank Serve Pro of Beechwood, our newest sponsor, and Jack Coslin, the owner. They serve all of Northeast Ohio, not just Beechwood. They specialize in disaster cleanup that leaves your home or office like new, like it never happened. Flood and water damage, fire, mold, and they say even blood and guts. Not just any Serve Pro. Seek out Serve Pro of Beechwood. That's Serve Pro Beechwood, Shaker Heights, ClevelandHeights.com, 216-464-4498. Operated by a former All-State wrestler from Beechwood, we love Serve Pro of Beechwood.
Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440.
Liberty Home Mortgage Corporation for all your home mortgage needs. Reach out to them at libertyhomemortgage.org or call them at 440-665-7627. That's Liberty Home Mortgage.
Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We're back with Jim Scheer talking about his illustrious career as a wrestler. Now I want to dive into the transition to the executive director of USA Wrestling and the CEO of USOC for 10 years, as well as some of the other things that you're doing now in other sports. And Jim, how did that transition occur? And who, if there was anybody that really inspired you to take that lead as an executive director and businessman in our illustrious sport?
Well, when we were in college, a U.S. national coach, a guy named Stan Bezik, which I'm sure you're familiar with.
Oh, yeah.
An incredible wrestler in his own right.
Yes.
Was a national team coach, but he was also getting his master's in business at the same time he was the national team coach.
Okay.
In Lincoln, Nebraska, which was the headquarters of the AAU.
Mm-hmm.
Stan came in and worked out with us quite a bit, and he was pretty driven on transitioning from the sport to business, and just I think it was a good example in terms of keeping your options open and making sure you got a great education, and was maybe one of the factors which led me to Northwestern and Kellogg, the graduate business school at Northwestern.
Magnificent. Northwestern. Yeah, magnificent school. I mean, literally the Ivy of the Midwest, and that Kellogg is a terrific MBA program.
Yeah, it was a great experience. And so I went to Kellogg, and then I coached one more year to wrestle in the 88 Olympic Games in 1989 came around, and I was incredibly upset that to wrestle well in the Olympics. And I wrestled in six tournaments that year. The first five tournaments, I won all five tournaments and was the most outstanding wrestler in all five tournaments.
Wow.
The Midlands and the National Championship, and then three international events.
Okay.
But then I ended up second in the World Championships, losing in losing to Hudartsev in the finals 1-0. But I had beaten him in the 89 World Cup as well, so I won that trip also. So great year in 89. Looking for some change in 1990, I went to Phoenix to begin a job at a community bank there.
Okay.
Thought, you know, I'll get a banking career going and coach at ASU and,
sure,
and be off and running in my business career. Well, USA Wrestling got a bit of financial difficulty.
Okay.
And organizational difficulty, and I was on the executive board of USA Wrestling.
Okay.
And they called me up, the executive board, and said, well, we need you to, we've asked our CEO to resign, and we need you to come on board and take over the organization. And I said, well, I want to continue to wrestle for at least another year and try and win a world championship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, I'll do it, but it can last no longer than 6 weeks.
No.
And I've got to get back to my wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that really worked out well, right?
Yeah. So 6 weeks into it, I was working 60, 70 hours a week. And,
right.
And fully vested in turning the organization around.
As a true wrestler would. As a true wrestler would. So our work ethic is not bad. Yep.
Yeah, that ended up being a 10-year stint where we
sure
were able to take an organization that essentially, when the day I started, had $6,000 in the bank, and we were $1.8 million in arrears and short-term debt.
Jeez.
And a $1.5 million annual budget to an organization that had a $10, $12 million annual budget, $10 million in surplus when I left. And probably the thing I was most proud of is we had a very strong team of people running the organization and doing the majority of the work, all of my reports and the staff we had built.
Yes.
And essentially all of those people, almost all of those people are still there working in some capacity. And Rich Bender is the executive director. And, and you know, 20 years later, since I've been gone from the organization, the leadership team is the same people that I brought on board and put in place. So we created a very stable organization that's continued to be one of the most successful in the U.S. So I'm very pleased with that.
Magnificent legacy, Jim. And I got to tell you that I'm pleased because about 11 years ago with one of my former wrestlers that I coached at Beechwood High School here in Northeast Ohio, we created Wrestlers in Business Network. And so we do understand the brilliance of what you did in leadership and legacy that you've left with the people that, you know, it's about who you hire and who you bring in and the kind of leadership. And high kudos to you on that. That's fantastic. And doing that, then it's led you to the current situation. What's happening in your world now with a different sport, my friend? And I'd love to hear about it. What's going on?
Well, interesting journey. So as you mentioned earlier, I was a CEO at the Olympic Committee for I was there as the chief of sport performance for 3 and the CEO at 7.
Okay.
And I took over almost the same situation as USA Wrestling. They had organizational difficulties, financial difficulties, ethical issues going on.
Okay.
And the board asked me to take over.
Okay.
I said, I've got one stipulation, is that I've got full authority to hire and fire anybody I wish on
sure
staff. And I've got full authority to make all decisions.
Okay.
And they hemmed and hawed around for a while. They came back and said, okay.
I like that.
We essentially turned the organization around in less than 18 months, but the first 18 months we had very little board involvement because they were going through a governance reform process that we led at the staff level, which we took the organization from 120 some person board to an 11 person board.
All right.
We had lost $47 million the last 4 year period, which was our business cycle.
Wow.
We took an organization from 605 employees down to 387.
Okay.
And ended up putting more than $100 million in bank. In the bank, our first full year, for a full 4 year cycle.
That's stunning. Not only
did we do that, we had 16 years of declining performance at the Olympic level and in the Olympic Games from 84 down to 2000. And then, I ran the sport performance program for the 2002 Winter Olympics, where we went from 13 medals to 34. Which was an all-time high for the U.S. And then on the summer side, we had declined significantly. We put a stake in the ground of winning 100 medals in Athens.
Right.
In 2004, which we did. We won 103. And then we put a same stake in the ground in Beijing. And then we increased, I think, to 108 medals in Beijing. So we had incredible success financially and on the field of play. So that was a huge experience. And I ended up leaving in the USOC in 2009.
Okay.
Became the first commissioner of the Collegiate Hockey Conference, but then, which was an incredible experience.
Sure.
Great sport.
Yes. Yes. As we talked off the air, I've got a nice relationship with Joe Bautista, the gentleman who just retired as the head coach at Penn State. So I do know
great,
that.
Great program. Yes. Up and coming.
Yes.
And wrestling then got removed from the Olympic program. And, my brother and I put together a committee internally with USA Wrestling called Committee to Preserve Olympic Wrestling.
Right.
And I ended up working with the International Federation as well.
Okay.
And we led the effort to get wrestling back in the Olympics. But since I was the only person that had connection in the sport that had any connection to the leadership of the International Olympic Committee, I ended up traveling around the world lobbying on behalf of wrestling, which didn't work with my day job as a commissioner of the National Collegiate Hockey Conference. So I ended up having to resign from that role. They came to me and said, well, you've got a choice. You either work for wrestling or you work for us. And I said, well, I love hockey. It's a great sport, guys, but wrestling was my sport.
Yes.
So I feel like I need to do this. And that resulted in 6 months of working to get wrestling back in. And we were successful in the IOC session in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and wrestling got voted back on the program.
Well, we are all very, very pleased and humbled by your efforts. And what was the definitive moment, Jim, that turned the tide? What argument or plea or passion that created the decision to bring it back?
There have been a couple of books about this, but none really accurate as to what happened.
Gotcha.
And this is a longer story. But the day wrestling got voted off the Olympics, I called a couple of IOC executive board members that I knew well.
Mm-hmm.
I called the IOC chief of staff, who was speaking to me on behalf of the IOC president.
Right.
And essentially, they were not in favor of wrestling having been removed from the program, the leadership of the IOC.
Okay.
But wrestling had lost out in a political battle at the IOC executive board and had been voted as the one sport who was slated to be removed.
Okay.
There was another executive committee meeting of 3 months in front of that, and between the IOC leadership and the IOC exec board members that I knew, and my brother also met with a couple of them.
Yes.
We mapped out a strategy. If wrestling was able to undertake a few initiatives prior to the exec board meeting, the exec board would put wrestling back in a pool of candidates to be the sport that replaced wrestling. So it was kind of an artificial construct.
Right.
But it was the only way the exec board could save face and make it happen.
Okay.
One of those was removing the then International Federation president, which Stan Desick very courageously was instrumental in doing so.
Thanks. Thank you, Dick. Thank you, Stan.
At the World Wrestling FILA at the time, exec board level.
Okay.
It came down to one vote at the FILA Bureau.
Mm-hmm.
And Stan and the Russians being instrumental drivers in that change process.
Okay.
We then got Anat Lalovich, who turned out to be an exceptional leader in place. Changed a few of the key fundamental things that, in addition, they wanted us to do.
Okay.
Went to the exec board meeting. Lalovich and myself were the two presenters at the IOC executive board meeting. And we presented our changes and the path for the future. And the IOC exec board voted us into the pool of sports that would be considered in Argentina for the addition to the games.
Okay.
That was the turning point. If we had not met that hurdle, it all would have all been over.
Yes.
Obviously, we got a lot of countries, including USA Wrestling and Russia and others,
mm-hmm.
to campaign and work positively and do all the work leading into Argentina. But it was, it was one of those, it wasn't life or death, but it was life or death for wrestling in the Olympics.
Yes.
And so it takes on that magnitude of importance. And, wow. The small wins and the big wins and the small losses were huge events along that journey, but mm-hmm. an incredible outcome, and I'm glad to see the sport prospering under Anat Lalovich's leadership internationally and Rich Bender's leadership in the U.S.
Well, while it's a imperfect solution, it's near perfect for us because we have our sport back in the Olympics, and incredibly important for all levels of wrestling, particularly in our country, to have that Olympic gold as a ultimate prize. So our hats are off to you, Jim, and your brother, and Stan, and all those that were instrumental in getting that done, and we thank you so much.
Well, thank you. There's a lot of people once we got that initial push that,
oh, I'm sure.
that were really critical, but
yes,
but yeah, it was really rewarding to be a part of that.
So,
and then I was traveling around internationally ended up becoming connected with some individuals who recommended me as the CEO for the first European Games, which was an Olympic-style competition for the continent of Europe, a multi-sport event.
Right.
Ended up having those games in Baku, Azerbaijan. I was the first CEO, first international employee. We built a team of 400, brought that event to Azerbaijan, and
okay.
a couple billion-dollar budget.
Wow.
Ended up having an event in 2015.
Yes.
I had a short stint after that, helping out a friend at the National Wheelchair Basketball Association when the opportunity to become the first chief executive officer of the International Lacrosse Federation came up.
Lacrosse.
I was not that familiar with the sport. I played it. I had watched it a lot. But it was what I knew of the sport and its prospects and the growth in North America over the prior 20 years before I took it over was all incredibly positive, and I took that job and I've been there almost 4 years. We've gone from basically $150,000 a year budget,
sure,
to and one myself as the only staff person to now a $3.5 million annual budget. Still small, but
sure,
going for us with 9 staff members and. We have a goal of hopefully being included in the Los Angeles Olympics, and we're trying to progress down that path. And we made a lot of progress, and it's been a just a really incredible experience the past 4 years for me to get to know the lacrosse community.
Yes,
both in the United States and
it's exploding. It's LAX is exploding, and we here in Northeast Ohio have the guy. The hero of our Cleveland Browns, Jim Brown, who primarily changed the sports rules back in the day when he was playing.
the cradle rule is the Jim Brown rule.
The Jim Brown rule. He would have scored a million points if they didn't change that rule. He probably did, you know, but it's amazing.
Still sort of a bit involved in the sport in terms of promoting it. And,
sure.
And the values of the sport. Obviously an incredible player in lacrosse. And
yes.
One of the best athletes of all time.
Of all time. I mean, what an amazing, amazing. I mean, when you see some of those films, it's just incredible. But
an amazing human being. And
he is.
And record in the civil rights movement. And
absolutely.
So, one of the great legacies of sport. And Ohio State now has a great collegiate program. So, it's really come up in Ohio.
Well, Chagrin Falls High School, where I coach as the wrestling team, they are the defending boys and I think runner-up and girls in lacrosse in Division II. So,
great.
They've got a great program, and actually it hurt my program a little bit. Well, Jim, it's an illustrious career that you've had and continue to have, and we're really pleased and blessed to have you on Blood Time. And I would love to talk to you for many more minutes or hours, but we typically want to end our interview with basically a question or a request from our guest to, during this time of the virus, to give our audience a word or two of courage and encouragement moving forward.
Well, let me first say that thank you for all you do for the sport.
Thank you.
Not only the young men you've molded in your coaching career, but founding the Wrestlers and Business Network and making that connection, because I do think the values you learn in wrestling are very critical to success in business.
Thank you.
And that drive you learn as a wrestler and your mental resilience and toughness. But, those same qualities are the qualities that help an individual, a family, or our country get through this pandemic.
Yes.
The ability to persevere, ability to keep going. And the ability to have hope. And I think the greatest thing that wrestling teaches you is, you can get better. And my greatest saying always to my kids is, hey, tomorrow is going to be better than today.
Right.
And they look at me funny and I'm like, why? I'm like, well, because I'm going to be better tomorrow than I was today. Because I'm going to learn from my mistakes today. I'm going to learn from my successes today. I'm going to apply those tomorrow. And I'm going to be better. Because I want to be better tomorrow. I have the hope and belief that tomorrow can be better than today. And I think that's one thing to keep in mind for all of us. It may be a while, but we're going to get through this. If we do those things to work together to get through this, tomorrow will be better than today. And so faith, the conviction of things unseen, hope, the belief that tomorrow will be better than today, and we'll get through this pandemic as a country. And we need to pull together as a people, these things that are divided us politically.
Yes.
And those things are minor in terms of what we should be doing as a people to come together and to work together regardless of our ideological differences.
Beautiful words, Jim. And tomorrow will be a better day. I really love that philosophy, because we're going to be better tomorrow, learning from both our successes and failures of today. Excellent words. Jim, you've been a phenomenal guest. Terrific career. Continue, please. We need your leadership, your philosophy, and you're just the love of humanity. Thank you, Jim.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you today.
Yes, stay healthy, be well, stay strong. Continue with lax, continue with wrestling, and we love the Shear family. God bless. Take care. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We are all blood. Love to all.
Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com. In the midst of our current health crisis, we at Blood Time want to thank Guy and Gus Seiko and the team at Defense Soap as a beacon of our protection. Body wipes, skin cleansers, bars of soap, shower gels, and disinfectant tablets. All this and more, as Defense Soap is on the front line of our protection. Thanks to the Seiko family and their team at Defense Soap. Check them out for all your protection needs during these precarious times. Defense Soap at DefenseSoap.com.
This is Coach Cimarroni. I trust you are well and about to emerge after this most challenging of years. In all that we have collectively been through, we can still find that silver lining. That said, it is my pleasure and honor to announce a rekindling and reconnection to my longtime and good friends at the Montrose Auto Group. Mike Thompson, Chris Mills, and the incredible staff at Montrose Westside have afforded me and Razor, my company, an opportunity to present the outstanding lineup of high-quality vehicles in their stable. Jaguars, Range Rovers, Volvos, and a bevy of high-quality pre-owned vehicles are at our and your disposal. I look forward to being of service to you and your family, friends, company, and associates at your request and direction. Let's get together soon to discover how we may be a solution to your driving requirements and desires. Thanks so much, and talk soon. This is Coach Cimarroni for the Montrose Auto Group's West Side Store.
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.